The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, I'm Derek Frost for the North Carolina Reading Service. For the next hour, I'll be reading from the Triangle Business Journal. And we'll start on the front page of the Triangle Business Journal with the headline, The Game Plan for 2023. Recession fears, a red alert on talent, persistent inflation. 2023 is shaping up to be a pivotal year for businesses on multiple fronts. Here's a guide to navigating the challenges and opportunities your business will confront. And this series of short stories begins inside the Triangle Business Journal with the second headline, Playbook for 2023. Overall, the rate of growth in the local economy, fueled by employment growth in the Raleigh, Cary, and Durham-Chapel Hill MSAs, eclipsed most of the country in 2022. But after a year defined by soaring inflation and efforts to cool down economic growth, employers are bracing for a potential recession while trying to navigate a still tight labor climate. Those challenges are expected to persist in 2023, and companies now find themselves at the crossroads of expansion or contraction. In this special feature, we explore strategies for success in an increasingly uncertain environment, as well as where things stand as the calendar turns to 2023. How to prepare for the pay transparency push. This is written by Andy Medici. Pay was a pain point for many businesses in 2022, due in large part to rising wages and high turnover. Shifting economic conditions are already tempering wage growth, but they won't eliminate an emerging headache for employers, the push for pay transparency. Employers are feeling the heat on multiple fronts, with a younger generation of workers demanding pay transparency or just openly discussing their salary details, and a growing number of states requiring it. Experts say that combination of factors will force the hands of many businesses, creating some sticky situations. Pay transparency laws for job postings have taken hold in Washington State, Colorado, California, and New York City. These laws will continue to gain ground across more and more states through 2023 and beyond, says Dina Baumgartner, president at Employers Advantage, LLC. Now is the time for companies to do a gut check on their compensation plans for recruiting purposes, but also for overall internal equity. She says even if a company is not legally required to do so, it's often a good step. It shows transparency on behalf of the organization and eliminates the who's going to jump first on the compensation question game, saving everyone time and headaches, Baumgartner says. Experts note pay transparency can also impact a company's existing workforce as employees realize how much new hires and others are being paid, says Nikki Jorgensen, Director of Service Operations at Human Resources Platform Insperity Incorporated. Companies can get ahead of the laws by revamping their pay structure and even performing a pay equity audit to make sure existing workers are paid fairly. It is important for business owners to communicate with employees one-on-one to address any pay disparities and let them know about current plans to adjust pay scale, she says. She says companies that pay fairly can benefit by posting salary ranges. That is especially true if they post salary ranges in states where it's not required, gaining an edge on businesses that have decided not to post them. Posting pay can also build trust in a company by showing it's transparent with workers. Transparency in pay reflects well on job seekers and builds trust in the company, which helps attract top candidates, Jorgensen says. New data privacy laws. This is also written by Andy Medici, a senior reporter for The Playbook. You may not have a presence in California, but experts say your business would be wise to pay attention to the state's new data privacy law. In 2023, a beefed-up data privacy law takes effect in California, and states such as Colorado, Connecticut, and Virginia are following suit. That patchwork of laws could cause headaches and confusion, so experts say businesses might want to pick the most stringent of the regulations and form policies around its requirements while recognizing other states could introduce their own wrinkles. And that was in a section called Pay Strategy. The next section is Economy, with the first article being by Sugata Mukherjee, editor-in-chief of the Triangle Business Journal, The Looming Credit Squeeze. Americans are once again amassing debt at a rate that may be difficult to pay back, especially with the slowdown of the economy and big lenders keeping a wary eye on consumer borrowing and loan defaults. Thanks to the pandemic, delinquency rates, while rising, remain near historic lows, masking the potential nervousness from banks, credit card companies, auto finance giants, and mortgage originators. If history teaches us a lesson, things are about to change, and consumers are likely to feel the pinch. And from Lauren Onasorge, economic development. A few years ago, the story was companies in Boston and Silicon Valley realizing the money they could save by relocating to places such as Texas, Tennessee, and North Carolina. In 2023, some economic developers say they worry the story could be companies realizing the money they could save by shifting operations to Zoom, eliminating site selection entirely. I'll be watching how that shakes out, but I'll also be paying attention to ongoing migration, companies from the Northeast trekking into talent-rich regions in the Sun Belt. And another story by Andy Medici, how to recession-proof your small business. From James Thoma's point of view, many business owners will soon enter uncharted waters yet again. Nearly 3 years after the pandemic sent shockwaves through the economy, Thoma says business owners are preparing for another new scenario, battling both a potential recession and crippling inflation at the same time. No one in business leadership has had to navigate their business through stagflation, says Tomes, CEO of Telgen Holdings Incorporated, which provides fire safety equipment. Indeed, 2023 is shaping up as a strange year. Recession predictions abound, but economists don't believe it will significantly derail the hot talent market, a combination that could prove challenging. Seth Sokoloff, an independent, fractional chief financial officer with a background in private equity, says companies need to take a close look at their costs. Definitely look at all the costs. Generally, headcount costs are one of the main costs. You have to make sure for the good of the business and for everyone in the business that you're still going to be cash flow positive, Sokoloff says. He says try to be a price maker and not a price taker that simply absorbs increased costs. Here are some other suggestions from experts to help businesses weather a recession. Look to the future. That means forecasting your balance sheet and what your revenue would be under various conditions. Make sure you know what the worst-case scenario looks like. Check in with suppliers. Make sure your suppliers are able to get your business what you need to keep operating. If not, look to have alternatives lined up and ready to go to ensure your own business is not disrupted. And check your prices. Find out where and by how much you can raise your prices. You might not be able to raise them to cover all your costs, but there is room to raise them in many cases. And there's another section on pay strategy. And this story is written by Ty West and Annie Medici. Salaries soared in 2022. Can it continue in the new year? Despite concerns about an economic slowdown, wages are still on the rise heading into the new year. In fact, companies are budgeting their biggest raises in 15 years, which will build on top of significant pay gains for many workers in 2022. While many experts say those gains won't be sustainable in the long term, they also concede many businesses have little choice at the moment. As long as job openings outnumber job seekers and inflation continues to climb, workers will have more leverage to negotiate for what they want, says Paul McDonald, senior executive director at Robert Half International Incorporated. Staying on top of compensation levels is a critical first step to recruiting and retaining top talent and preparing for potential market fluctuations. Salary budgets for U.S. employees are projected to grow an average of 4.1% in 2023, the highest since 2008, according to a survey by Willis Towers Watson, PLC. Average raises were budgeted at 4% heading into 2022, although many companies implemented unbudgeted mid-year increases in 2022. To prevent turnover, many businesses found themselves paying significant premiums to attract or retain workers in 2022. At some point, those expenses become intolerable for the organization, McDonald says. So how should companies be approaching pay at a time when expenses are under the microscope? Get ahead of the issue. Companies would be wise to prioritize and pay up for their best workers before they get an offer. Be creative. Small businesses can often compete with larger counterparts on salary alone, but they often have more flexibility on perks. and think long term. With a slowdown likely, experts say companies need to think carefully about how high they are willing to go with raises to avoid being stuck with a salary that's too high for the output. And now we turn to Biz, a quick glance at Triangle Happenings, written by managing editor Dane Huffman. One lot could become two homes. The sale of a home on Northbrook Drive in Raleigh's North Hills could foreshadow what's to come as the fast-growing city looks for ways to accommodate the demand for housing. Tobacco Road Custom Builders paid $895,000 for a two-story brick home at 801 Northbrook Drive that dates to 1964. The home is near Brooks Magnet Elementary School and in the middle of a North Hills neighborhood where bulldozers are pulverizing aging split levels and million-dollar homes are rising. What's interesting in this case, though, is Tobacco Road is asking the city for permission to put two homes on the 0.54-acre lot where the zoning is R4. Keegan McDonald, planning supervisor for the city of Raleigh, tells Biz, under a conventional development option, they could subdivide the lot if they meet the minimum dimensional criteria, 65 feet in width, 100 feet in depth, and 10,000 square feet in area. On each of these lots, they could either build one detached house, one attached house, or further subdivide to create two-unit townhouses. Many lots in North Hills span half an acre, although 801 Northbrook is a corner lot that also backs up to Terrell Road, so if the city approves Tobacco Road's plans and two homes rise, it's easy to imagine other developers weighing similar moves in desirable areas such as North Hills or even looking at tiny house lots. Tiny houses are permitted on smaller lots, 50 feet in width, 75 feet in depth, and 7,500 square feet in area, but also limited in size, 800 square foot footprint, 1,200 square foot floor area, and 26 feet, two stories in height. McDonald says tiny houses can be used for single or two-unit living. Bacatzias opens 13th eatery. Georgios Bacatzias, a prolific Durham restaurateur, has opened the doors of his 13th spot. Giorgio Pizza Bar is now serving salads, pastas, wine, cocktails, and pizza. The restaurant marks his second in the growing district, with a third, a Spanish tapas bar, coming soon. The pizza bar took over the former Zoe's Kitchen space at 141 Park. The restaurant's dining room will feature 100 seats in a casual setting, with design elements paying homage to Italian cinema over the decades. A covered patio will offer an additional 25 seats, a must in the post-pandemic world where outdoor dining reigns supreme. North Carolina sees a big year for jobs in 2022. The numbers are in, and 2022 was another major year for North Carolina on the job recruitment front. Governor Roy Cooper's office says that nearly 28,700 jobs linked to 182 economic development projects were announced in the state last year. Of course, all the projects don't pan out, but the numbers show North Carolina continues to be a roaring economic engine. Last year's figure topped the 2021 number of 24,200 jobs and comes as North Carolina was recently named the best state for business. North Carolina continues to be the best place for people to live, learn, work, and raise a family, and these economic development results show companies recognize our appeal as a business location, Cooper says. NC Senate leader seeks more tax cuts. North Carolina Senate President Pro Tempore Phil Berger, Republican Rockingham, wants the state to consider reducing the individual income tax to 2.5%. We need to continue to drive our tax rates down, said Berger, joining House Speaker Tim Moore, Republican, Cleveland County, on January 9 at the Charlotte Regional Business Alliance. We have on the books a step down of the corporate rate to zero. We have on the books a step down of our individual income tax rate to 3.99%. I believe we need to get the individual rate down to 2.5%. Berger mentioned the competition with Tennessee, Florida, and Texas, states with no personal income tax. Launch JOCO starts up its second year. Launch JOCO, a program meant to aid small business owners in Johnston County, is beginning its second year this month. The program started in 2022 with 20 graduates. The program offers opportunities for local entrepreneurs to take classes at Johnston Community College's Small Business Center, as well as network and learn from business leaders in the community. It was an inaugural year, so we have been working hard to make the necessary modifications to further strengthen the program and its resources, says Dana Wooten, president of the Clayton Chamber of Commerce. Wooten says the 2023 program will include 17 candidates, and the program will start in January. And finally, Novo Nordisk gives Durham Tech $6 million. Months after voters approved a $112 million bond referendum, Durham Technical Community College has landed the largest corporate donation in the school's history. Novo Nordisk, a Danish pharmaceutical company, is donating $6 million to the college over the next 4 years. Beginning this month with a $1.5 million payment, the money will support the school's new 35,000-square-foot life sciences training center. The November bond referendum included about $35.2 million to construct the facility, with the work beginning this spring and wrapping up in 2026. The money from Novo Nordisk will help the college purchase equipment and expand academic programs at the center, including establishing a new biotechnology associate's degree. Novo Nordisk operates 3 manufacturing facilities in the Triangle, including 2 in Clayton and 1 in Durham. The company employs about 1,800 people in the area. And now we turn to some of the main news stories in the Triangle Business Journal. Waterfront Development Plan for Johnston County, written by Evan Hoopfer. A large mixed-use project is planning to bring a new type of development to Johnston County. Leadership at Flowers Plantation is working on plans for the Waterfront District. The ambitious project plans to bring retail, restaurants, a hotel, and up to 300 new residences to a piece of property that sits along NC Highway 42. The land sits next to the Northeast Lake at the Flowers Crossroads. This type of development is becoming more popular in large cities, such as the North Hills Innovation District project in Raleigh, but is not as common in places like Johnston County. It's not a great distance to Raleigh. People are working there and living in Flowers, said Reed Stevenson, CEO of Flowers Plantation. Then with the other business developments that are coming into Johnston County, we feel like this is the time to move forward with Flowers Plantation as one of our final developments. Flowers Plantation is one of the largest master planned communities in the Triangle. The 3,000-acre community, which sits east of Clayton, is home to over 4,000 homes today and has room for up to 7,790 residential units at full build-out. Joshua Percy Flowers began acquiring the land at the onset of the Great Depression and farmed cotton and tobacco. His daughter, Rebecca Flowers, began developing the land in 1978. The Waterfront District represents one of the developer's most ambitious projects. The layout will feature residential units on top floors with retail on the bottom. The majority of the 250 to 300 residences will be condominiums, Stevenson says. Development is slated to kick off this year on the Marketplace, which will be built on the shores of the lake with 2 or 3 restaurants inside, Stevenson says. The goal is to start developing the Marketplace by mid-year. Next, attention will be turned to the residential component and the hotel. Stevenson says an operator has not been selected yet for the hotel. An estimated cost for the development was not released. C-suite change at Triangle CRO. Syneos Health CFO to depart with $1 million severance after rough 2022. Written by Zach Ezone. After underperforming in 2022 and watching its stock tumble, one of the largest life sciences companies in the Triangle is beginning the new year with a change in its C-suite. Syneos Health announced January 9 that Chief Financial Officer Jason Meggs will leave his role by March 31 to pursue other career opportunities. Meggs has agreed to support Syneos as a consultant through the end of the year as the company searches for its next CFO. The change comes as Syneos reaffirmed its estimated 2022 revenue guidance that it released in November between $5.3 to $5.36 billion, which would represent growth between 1.7 to 2.8% over 2021. This falls short of the company's initial 2022 projections of growth between 7.4 to 10.3%. On January 11, the company's stock opened at $35.81 per share, a more than 60% drop from a year ago when it was above $93. According to a separation agreement filed with the U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission, Syneos will pay Meggs 1 year of severance, which including salary and target bonus will total about $1.05 million. Beginning in July, Meggs will serve as a consultant to Syneos through the end of the year. Syneos will pay Meggs a fixed monthly fee of $5,000 for up to 5 hours of services rendered per month and $750 per hour for additional services beyond the initial 5 hours. As a consultant, Meggs will support the company's finance team through the end of 2023. Cineo says it has retained an executive search firm and launched a search for its next CFO. And we'll stop there as the rest of the article recounts the company's history. Next, we have a story by Kaylee Thompson. New year, new 40-story request in Raleigh. A downtown Raleigh site could be approved for up to 40 stories as the property owner appears to have once again changed his vision for the site. A new rezoning request for three parcels on Kinley Street has been filed with the city. The current zoning for 130 and 131 Kinley Street and an unaddressed parcel on Kinley Street is downtown mixed use up to 20 stories. The proposed rezoning is for downtown mixed use up to 40 stories and an urban limited frontage. The developer listed on the rezoning application is an LLC addressed to Raleigh architect and developer Robert Ferris. Ferris is president and CEO of SFL Plus A Architects and a manager of First Floor, both based in Raleigh. Attempts to reach Ferris for comment were unsuccessful. The site is 6.74 acres and has an assessed value of approximately $12.5 million. Ferris owns all three properties, which are near the Duke Energy Center for the Performing Arts. Ferris has filed different plans over the years for 1.9 acres at 120 Kinley Street, which previously included 130 and 131 Kinley. In April 2021, he filed plans for a seven-story, 286-unit apartment complex. And our next story is by Lauren Onasorge. Raleigh-based bank CEO dies in plane crash. Bergevin led Integrated Financial Holdings and its Westtown Bank. A top executive at a Triangle Banking Company was one of two people from North Carolina who died in a plane crash in Southeast Virginia on January 7. Eric John Bergevin, 53, CEO of both Raleigh-based Integrated Financial Holdings and its banking subsidiary, Illinois Chartered Bank Westtown Bank and Trust, died in the crash. The other individual has been identified as 54-year-old Christian Rask Fauchild, according to the Virginia State Police. Bergevin's friends in the industry called the news heartbreaking and described him as a man of extraordinary ambition, a deal maker. Mark McConnell, chairman of IFHI's board, met Bergevin in 2008 when he was trying to start what he had envisioned as a de novo Albemarle Bank and Trust. He and the idea seemed really, really ambitious, McConnell recalls, but he had an answer to every question, every concern. Any kinds of questions he had already thought about that. He could articulate how he was going to overcome something to get there. But what Bergevin couldn't foresee from that meeting at the Panera Bread in Greenville was the financial downturn, capital dried up, and the ambitious plan looked to be no more, McConnell recalled. But just when we thought we were done, he figured it out, he says. Instead of starting a bank from scratch, he'd recapitalize one. That bank would be Westtown Savings Bank, later changed to Westtown Bank and Trust. It seemed like a Hail Mary, but he figured it out, McConnell says, and he brought his business plan to the new bank. We were never going to be a sleepy bank on the corner, McConnell says. He wanted to have a bank that was different, that would be more financially successful. And we'll stop there as the rest of the story recounts more remembrances from friends and business partners. Now we turn to the On Tech and Finance page written by Lauren Onasorge. The main headline: this time, recruiting company is the target, fast-growing Personify acquired by Florida competitor. One of the fastest-growing companies in the Triangle, a 45-year-old firm in downtown Raleigh, has been acquired by a competitor. Personify, which ranked as the 31st fastest-growing firm in the Triangle in Triangle Business Journal's 2022 Fast 50 Awards, has been bought out by Florida-based Wilson HCG, the company's announced January 10. Personify describes itself as a recruitment process outsourcing provider specializing in industries such as life sciences. Wilson HCG, with over 2,000 employees and based in Tampa, offers executive search, talent consulting, and talent acquisition solutions. Financial terms of the deal were not released, but Personify's management team rolled over a significant portion of equity from the purchase price. John Wilson, CEO of Wilson HCG, and Personify CEO Ryan Carfley have known each other for a decade. Wilson says he respected their business, fantastic competitor. About a year ago, friendly conversations morphed into early deal discussions as Personify looked for ways to scale and Wilson HCG looked to augment its offerings. Speaking with Carfley, it was evident that if the rest of the company was like him, it would be something we would be very interested in, Wilson says, adding that it became clear to everyone involved that this would be a very exciting match. Carfley told TBJ last year the plan was to hire more than 50 employees in 2023. Under Wilson HCG, he says the plan isn't changing. The deal means continued growth. That's not a question, he says. Carfley says employees are excited about the deal. We're energized in right here, right. We're energized in here right now, he says. Triangle Tesla owners join uproar. A pair of Tesla owners in the Triangle are suing Elon Musk's electric vehicle company, claiming Tesla knew about a costly brake defect but sold them the vehicles anyway. Michael Costello of Wake County and Megan Colonel of Durham County filed a federal lawsuit over defects they claim they discovered in their Teslas. The lawsuit, posed as a class action complaint, surrounds an unintended braking defect tied to the autopilot system where the vehicles detect non-existent obstacles, triggering the cars to abruptly decelerate or stop completely. Tesla did not immediately respond to a request to comment on the case. Both plaintiffs claim to have experienced the sudden braking on several occasions since purchasing their cars. Colonel, according to the lawsuit, was stranded on the side of the road due to the defect. Future bleak for bankrupt Raleigh firm. With no CEO and no corporate board to direct an outright sale, MobileSmith will likely be sold off piece by piece, patent by patent. That's a takeaway from the latest hearing in the Chapter 11 bankruptcy reorganization held this month in front of U.S. bankruptcy judge Joseph Calloway in Greenville. An emergency hearing was held after the parties were unable to come to a compensation arrangement with Raleigh-based MobileSmith's interim CEO, Gleb Mikhailov. Without a set compensation agreement, he quit. The company's board followed him out the door within days, leaving MobileSmith's attorney, Jeff Cook, with little choice but to seek out the appointment of a trustee as soon as possible. And now we turn to the On Greater Triangle Growth page written by Evan Hoopfer. Developers acquire a large Pittsboro farm. The 500-acre farm has been in the Reeves family for decades. A new mixed-use development spanning hundreds of acres is coming to what is currently a farm in Chatham County. A pair of local developers purchased 494.4 acres in the county for nearly $19.6 million, according to two deeds filed December 16. The land, which has been in the Reeves family for years, sits on the west side of Pittsboro between U.S. Highway 64 Business and Alston Chapel Road. The buyers are Edward Holmes Jr., Carter Keller and Buddy Keller, Carter's father, who are active developers in the Halo counties of the Greater Triangle. Holmes calls the land the premier property on the west side of Pittsboro. The unnamed project would be one of the largest mixed-use developments in the Greater Triangle. This kind of property is rare to find in the region. Despite the sheer size of the tract of land and its rural characteristics, the property is just a couple of miles west of downtown Pittsboro. Holmes says plans are in their beginning stages and it's not known what exactly will go on the land or when it will be developed, but he did say the development would be mixed use in nature. The pair is buying the land with no entitlements in place. Our goal is not to create another subdivision, but instead to extend the fabric and character of Pittsboro, Holmes says. Holmes stresses he does not view this project as a competitor to Chatham Park, which is master planned for 22,000 homes and 22 million square feet of commercial space on the east side of Pittsboro. Holmes ran Holmes Oil Incorporated, the parent company of Cruisers Convenience Stores. The Chapel Hill company was acquired in 2020 by Refuel Operating Company, a South Carolina-based retail and wholesale fuel distribution and convenience store business that's rapidly growing its North Carolina presence. Resort plans first new course in decades. Pinehurst Resort is getting a new golf course. The resort plans to break ground on its 10th course this month. The course will be designed by Tom Doak and represents the first new course at the resort in nearly 30 years. Pinehurst plans to have the new 18-hole course open in late spring 2024, which would line up with the next time Pinehurst No. 2 will host the Men's U.S. Open. The new course will sit about 4 miles south of the main resort clubhouse. Doak says this site is topographically different from the rest of Pinehurst. There's about 75 feet of elevation change, and we'll work our way up to it around the midpoint of the layout, he says. You'll have expansive views from this apex above the rest of the course. It will be an unforgettable experience for golfers. New bar with food trucks approved. The Smithfield Town Council approved a special use permit for the operation of a new bar along Venture Drive on the east side of town last month. The bar would be in a commercial office building that has multiple tenant spaces and proximity to Interstate 95. The building is near hotels and other restaurant and hospitality establishments such as a Bob Evans and Outback Steakhouse. The applicant for the project is Smithfield resident Robert Husky. He told the town council that the bar would likely be open noon to midnight, and he hopes to get some food trucks as well. And now we turn to the on retail and restaurants page, written by Laura Brumette. Triangle convenience stores sold for $50 million. South Carolina firm continues aggressive push into the Triangle. A Raleigh company has been acquired by a private equity-backed firm focused on rapid growth. Eagles Enterprise, an owner-operator of gas stations and convenience stores, has been purchased by Refuel Operating Company of Charleston, South Carolina, which deals in retail and wholesale fuel distribution and convenience stores. The deal nets Refuel 13 gas stations. The deal nets Refuel 13 gas stations spread across the Triangle. Refuel has been a portfolio company of private equity firm First Reserve, based in Connecticut, since 2019 and has since completed 14 acquisitions, including the purchase of Eagles Enterprise. The brand now has a total of 208 company-operated stores across Texas, Mississippi, Arkansas, South Carolina, and North Carolina. Financial terms of the acquisition were not disclosed, but the deal did include the purchase of several properties. Of its 13 gas stations, the Raleigh company owned 10 properties that have now been sold to Refuel for a total of about $51 million. The leases for the remaining three locations were transferred to Refuel, according to Wake County records. Eagles Enterprise dates to 1990, when brothers Dilip and Manish Gandhi opened four gas stations in the Triad area. The pair opened a location on Capitol Boulevard in Raleigh in 1994. The business grew to a total of 13 locations across the Greater Triangle. We are extremely excited to expand our existing footprint in the attractive Raleigh-Durham market, Mark Jordan, CEO of Refuel, said in a press release. Dilip and Manish have built a great business over the years with high-quality locations that fit nicely within the Refuel portfolio. We're excited to welcome the Eagles team to the Refuel family. In August, Refuel agreed to acquire the Whalen Corporation. The Raleigh company had three stores in the Triangle area prior to the acquisition. Chapel Hill-based Holmes Oil, the parent company of the Cruisers convenience store chain, was purchased by Refuel in 2020. Refuel's website shows the company operating about 60 locations in North Carolina. Refuel received a $511 million capital infusion in January 2022, aimed to fund the company's rapid expansion through acquisitions. Raleigh Restaurant Group to open second Research Triangle spot. The Raleigh duo behind Y Hill Kitchen and Brewing is launching a new food concept in Research Triangle Park. Named Twisted Ladder, it will be located in the Alexandria Center for Advanced Technologies at 8 Davis Drive. It marks Chris Borison and Sarah Abernathy's second time partnering with Alexandria Real Estate Equities, a California developer with millions of square feet of office space in RTP. Their first RTP restaurant, Glasshouse Kitchen, opened in July. The new restaurant is slated to open in February. It will offer breakfast and lunch with counter service. Meals will likely fall between the $12 and $16 range. And finally, Rothy's to open first North Carolina store in North Hills. Rothy's, known nationally for its comfortable yet stylish shoes, will be taking over a boutique space in the North Hills. The San Francisco-based brand began with a woman's shoe line and has since expanded to include handbags, accessories, and men's shoes. The North Hills store, located at 4321 Lassiter at North Hills Avenue, will be the company's first location in the state. The 1,457-square-foot space is between Lilly Pulitzer and Bonobos. The location is slated to open early this year. And now we turn to Zach Ezone's page on healthcare and higher ed. School closes, land might be sold off. Living Arts College in Raleigh went out of business in December. A for-profit college in Raleigh shut down operations in December after the federal government took action against the school's accreditation agency. Living Arts College, which operated a main campus in Northeast Raleigh and a location in High Point, stopped all academic programming near the end of last year, months after the U.S. Department of Education decertified the Accrediting Council for Independent Colleges and Schools. This left a few dozen schools with the choice to either shut down or find a new path to accreditation, a status that is required for students and institutions to access federal financial aid. In a December 9 letter posted on the school's website, Roger Cleets, Living Arts president and creative director, said the closure was not a decision made by the college, but rather an action forced on several schools accredited by ACICS. Officials with the college could not be reached for comment. In the fall 2021 semester, enrollment for Living Arts totaled 203 students, and the school employed a staff of 55 people, according to data from the National Center for Education Statistics, part of the Department of Education. The Tri-Dome campus is located at 3000 Wakefield Crossing Drive off Falls of Neuse Road. A note on the website says, all full-time employees' last day of employment will be 12/30/22. Under President Barack Obama in 2016, the Department of Education revoked its recognition of ACICS following the collapse of several for-profit colleges. The agency's accreditation was restored under President Donald Trump in 2018, but terminated again by the Biden administration last year. The Department of Education announced that institutions accredited by ACICS could continue to participate in federal student aid programs for up to 18 months as these schools look for another accrediting agency. But the department required institutions to comply with additional conditions during this provisional period, including posting what was essentially collateral to ensure taxpayers could claw some money back in the event of a school's closure. States pick Aetna to replace Blue Cross NC. In 2 years, a new company will begin managing the health insurance of nearly 740,000 North Carolina teachers, state employees, retirees, and their dependents, and it could lead to job cuts in the Triangle. State Treasurer Dale Folwell announced January 4 that Aetna will take over the administrative responsibilities of the state health plan in 2025 after decades of Blue Cross and Blue Shield of North Carolina managing the contract. As the third-party administrator of the plan, Aetna, based in Connecticut, will process claims and offer a network of healthcare providers to plan members. The administrative contract oversees healthcare spending of more than $17.5 billion over 5 years, according to Folwell's office. The contract covers an initial 3-year service period that runs through the end of 2027 and includes the option to renew for 2 1-year terms. And finally, Morrisville firm seeks to stop delisting. A Morrisville pharmaceutical company has implemented a reverse stock split to avoid being delisted from the NASDAQ. Shares for 10X Therapeutics traded below $1 for most of last year, leading the company to fall out of compliance with the NASDAQ rule that establishes a minimum bid price for listed companies. The split, which took effect January 4, is intended to bring the company back into compliance as it looks for a potential sale or merger. 10X stockholders authorized a reverse stock split during the company's annual meeting in June. And now we turn to the On Real Estate page, written by Kaylee Thompson. Maryland child care firm targets Cary. Celebree School seeks to open in Cary first, then add locations. A Maryland-based child care company is preparing to build its first North Carolina location in Cary amid larger expansion plans for the Triangle. Celebree School has submitted new site plans with the town of Cary for a Celebree Daycare Center at 11550 Green Level Church Road, across from Alston Ridge Elementary School and off Highway 55 in the northwest part of the fast-growing town. The site is near the location for the Apple campus in Research Triangle Park. The 10,050-square-foot building will have 9 classrooms and accommodate 135 children from 6 weeks old to pre-K. There will also be an 8,000-square-foot playground. The daycare center will have a kitchenette, 46 parking spaces, and will employ 25 to 30 people. Families can choose either full-time or part-time options for child care, and there will also be before and after-school care for elementary-age students. Celebrity Chief Development Officer Chris Kelleher declines to share the cost of the development, but financing will be via the company as it will be a corporate rather than franchise location. Kelleher estimates opening the school before the end of 2023 with hopes of opening in September. The company is waiting on permitting from the town. Kelleher says the Cary location will be a corporate hub as the company anticipates the Triangle will be a large market for expansion. The Triangle market can support 20 to 22 Celebrity schools, he says. A franchisee is actively pursuing locations for three additional schools in the Triangle. The Cary location was chosen for its strong demographics. Kelleher says there are more than 5,000 children within a 3.5-mile radius of the proposed site and that Cary is an underserved market. The company is looking to elevate the quality of child care in the Cary market. Raleigh developer sells new industrial site. A Raleigh developer recently completed construction of a 98,000-square-foot warehouse and subsequently sold it to a global real estate investment firm, or an investment trust. Wigeon, spelled W-I-G-E-O-N, Capital, completed construction on 200 Lawrence Field Court at the end of 2022 and closed the sale of the building on January 3rd. Realty Income Corporation bought the warehouse for $16.6 million, according to Wake County Property Records. The building is part of Wigeon Capital's Garner Business Park, which will include six buildings totaling 455,000 square feet off Interstate 40 and south of White Oak Crossing Shopping Center. The institutional-grade warehouse has 32-foot clearance ceiling heights, 34 dock doors, and an ESFR sprinkler system. It is 100% leased to the Lansing Building Products, a building material supplier in Wake County. The warehouse sits on 11.77 acres that Wigeon acquired in May 2021. And finally, Georgia firms team up on development. Two Georgia companies are teaming up for a mixed-use project with hundreds of residences and retail space in Chapel Hill. Novair Group of Atlanta and Fickling & Company of Macon, Georgia are developing Lullwater Park on Weaver Dairy Road near Cedar Falls Park, south of Interstate 40. There will be 489 rental units consisting of apartments, townhomes, and carriage homes, a food and beverage store, and community amenities. The development will be split into three areas, the Hub, the Nature Park, and the Green. Some of the residences will be designated as workforce and affordable housing, though the site plans don't indicate how many. And now we turn to the Viewpoint page to read the editor's notebook, written by Sugata Mukherjee, editor-in-chief of the Triangle Business Journal. The headline, Homeowners, Buyers Need to Look Past the Chatter. A friend of mine, whose job is to analyze the economic effects of a changing residential real estate market, recently sent me a note that certainly had a frustrating tone. The majority of journalists mix up the three terms, value, worth, and price, when they write about homes, he said. He may be onto something, but I really do not see that as a problem, yet. For now, what I see as a major problem for homeowners and prospective home buyers is their perception of what the market is doing in the Raleigh-Durham metro area. They read, see one set of stories, notes, blogs, TikToks, or Instagram posts that tell them the Triangle is completely sheltered from a home price nosedive because of its economic strength. Then the next day, they read their same go-to information site and learn about people talking about how a deep recession, a forced labor market slowdown, and an earnings freeze could impact buying and selling houses for years. Here's some free advice. While it is a great idea to read about the local housing market as much as you can, always understand the source of that information. If residential brokers are telling you the market is simply awesome and there's nothing to worry about, consider the source. If an economist or, God forgive, a journalist is telling you that the residential market is facing headwinds strong enough to jolt the delicate buy-sell balance, again, consider the source. I'm pretty sure that the same economist who is telling you about the impending housing market crash is stating the exact opposite in some other blog. Always remember the favorite line from most economists, on one hand, and yet, on the other hand. Housing is a deeply personal subject. As mentioned earlier, for most of us, it will be our most valued asset. So while reading information on the housing market from all sources is reasonable, your decision to buy or sell should be based on your finances, your present state of affairs, your future goals, and most importantly, your research. For example, the Triangle Multiple Listing Services data released in December revealed showings were down 27% year over year, and end-of-month inventory is up 179%. All that means is the pool of home buyers has shrunk at the same time more homes are now in the market. That's all. Nothing more and nothing less. It does not mean pretty soon people will stop looking to buy homes, and it does not mean hundreds of thousands of additional homes will soon be put up for sale. You can make those conclusions if you notice a trend over several months. But still, you have to do your own research. This is your asset. Do your own research beyond reading what we or others have to say. We do not know your current state of affairs, and make sure you don't mix your terms. Some folks in the industry get very irritated. And now we return to our continuing series in the Triangle Business Journal, 52 Shades of Success, Earth and Equity. The headline, The Leadership Tilt. With a focus on building character, Tilt 365 helps businesses assess and develop execs. Written by Connie Gentry. About this project, the Earth and Equity Project explores the growing awareness, actions, and accountability of businesses and leaders who face opportunities and challenges relating to environmental, social, and governance, or ESG, issues. The 52-week project will highlight what selected companies and Triangle executives are doing to address climate change, diversity, equity, inclusion, and ways to maneuver the new world of corporate responsibilities. Character, integrity, and trust aren't for sale. After accepting roughly $125,000 in initial seed funding in 2012, Pam Boney made the strategic decision to refrain from accepting more investors. That's no reflection on David Gardner, well-known angel investor at Co-Founders Capital, who, like Red Hat, was among the first to buy into Boney's creative and philosophical approach to leadership development. The reason to keep Tilt 365 a purely bootstrapped, self-funded endeavor was Boney's recognition that developing the science-based assessment tools she envisioned would require unwavering focus on her mission and the technology it required. Red Hat has relied on the Tilt philosophy for some 15 years, working with Boney even before she launched the company while she was still pursuing graduate research in industrial and occupational psychology at NC State University. Gardner remains a key advisor for Boney and the Tilt 365 tools, which are underscored by philosophical convictions that stress the development of character strengths as the path forward for corporate leaders. I believe that character growth is the solution to any problem, especially with all the divisiveness in the world today, says Boney, who dreams of expanding Tilt 365 from the corporate setting. Facebook and Microsoft are also among the early adopters and long-term customers, to the conflicted political arena where the business of government has become increasingly polarized. That's what occurs when leaders are driven by ego fear, which Boney describes as being marked by negativity, competitiveness, and a lack of morality or ethics in decision-making. Tilt 365 empowers and trains executive talent and internal human resources teams to develop leaders who are driven by ethical innovation and character-based decisions. If you want people to innovate and you want to build a culture that is healthy and not dysfunctional, you need to provide psychology safety, Boney says. That doesn't mean everybody gets to be emotionally comfortable all the time. It means leaders have well-rounded character, that they intentionally develop conscious actions and conscious choices in the way they interact with other people. The military has always emphasized character development as a core leadership trait, but it's a relatively new perspective for businesses, albeit one that is quickly gaining traction. Brenda Malloy, CEO of New York-based executive search firm Herbert Mines Associates, agrees that strength of character, resiliency, and low ego are attributes boards are seeking in the professionals they tap to lead global enterprises. I'm seeing boards really emphasize character and personal attributes in their CEO specs. Of course, we aren't going to walk away from the fact that CEOs have to deliver the goods, Malloy says, but it's someone who in many ways goes back to the Jim Collins good to great narrative, that humble leader who can get the right talent and motivate and lead the talent. Additional prerequisites for the corner office are confidence and agility, both enhanced by character development. A CEO today has to be a strategic business partner who is comfortable with transformation, Malloy continues. From impacting the bottom line to recruiting and retaining talent, transformation is imperative. In the 2023 Disruption Index from Alix Partners, 98% of CEOs said they need to overhaul their business models within the next 3 years. Character-driven leadership can play a fundamental role in successfully leading companies through transformation, which also requires maintaining the trust and confidence of key stakeholders. However, a report from PwC identified a significant disconnect between business leaders who believe 87% of their customers and 84% of their employees trust the business, and the reality that only a third of their customers and roughly two-thirds of their employees actually have trust in the business. Customer loyalty, employee retention, and trust are natural outcomes of character-driven leadership. Tilt's science of character came from Aristotle's golden mean, which is about creating balance between extremes. It's about civility and how we operate with one another, Boney says. Those are virtues that resonate in the current conversations around corporate culture that emphasize well-being, engagement, and positive influences. In its report, Well-Being, a New Cornerstone for ESG Strategy and Reporting, Deloitte states, when organizations support the well-being of their people, they can experience lower turnover and burnout, as well as greater productivity and engagement. In the wake of increasing corporate layoffs at tech giants like Salesforce and Amazon, internal stresses rise and there is an increasing need for tools and coaching that reinforce positive approaches to talent management. I've talked with 6 or 7 HR professionals this week, and the expectation is there are still more jobs to cut, says Boney, who sees an even greater need for investing in education and nurturing leadership, but realistically knows that could be among the first line items cut from the budget. Tilt 365 has operated profitably since its beginning, but 2022 was a difficult year because of challenges across the tech industry. After growing the business 20 to 25% year over year, up to $1.5 million in revenue in 2021, the business dropped about 20% in 2022. There were days when it made Boney second-guess the decision to deny investors, but inevitably, she came back to the same conclusion. Building technology that stays true to Tilt's core mission always takes precedent. There are more than 1,900 organizations using the Tilt tools, encompassing more than 5,300 teams and nearly 133,000 individuals. Almost 800 practitioners are trained to be Tilt coaches, and the business continues to grow organically through company referrals. Our sweet spot is working with businesses from startups to midsize, typically from 6 to 10,000 employees, Boney says. The company serves its share of large corporate enterprises, but when it started working with Facebook, there were only 4,000 employees at the social media giant, which, even after layoffs, numbered more than 70,000 employees in November. Her prediction is that Tilt will hit $5 million in revenue in 3 years, and there's a strong probability that the company will be sold in that time frame, as long as the acquiring company buys into the Tilt philosophy as well. And now we're going to read through the big numbers sections that are throughout the Triangle Business Journal. The first one, $50 million. That's the target for a new fund from Durham's Idea Fund Partners, which is doubling the stakes with its fourth fund. The firm filed papers with the U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission this month for Idea Fund 4. The vehicle follows Fund 3, which closed in 2022 at $25 million. And the next big number is 56, the number of guest rooms proposed for new cottages at Southern Pines Golf Club, which are intended to house golfers playing the course. And the next big number is 19, the number of Triangle restaurants that were featured on a list compiled by Triangle Business Journal of notable restaurants that closed their doors in 2022. Standouts include Raleigh's Ruth's Chris Steakhouse, Garland, and Brazza Brazilian Steakhouse. $100 million is the next big number. That's the potential size of a financing agreement a financial agreement Liquidia has landed through a deal with Healthcare Royalty Partners of Connecticut. The Morrisville Pharmaceutical Company will receive an initial $32.5 million. And $40.5 million. That's the sale price for Crescent Community's first phase of land and industrial building, and it's the Yield development in Holly Springs. And there are also quotes in he said or she said sections sprinkled throughout the Triangle Business Journal. Now we'll read some of those. First one is from TELUS International CEO Jeff Puritt, speaking shortly after his firm closed on its buy of WillowTree, which has a significant presence in Durham. My ambition is to see if we can't grow it to 10,000 people as fast as we can. And also a quote from Walker Gorham, partner and Raleigh market leader for Beacon Partners, speaking about the Apex Gateway project that will feature 1.2 million feet of commercial and industrial space on the Chatham County side of Apex. We are long-term believers in Apex and the growth to the west in Chatham County. Obviously, we followed the megasite announcements over the past 12 months in Chatham County and feel that Apex is really in the center of all that growth and development. Next is Kevin Barrill, digital advisory leader at Cherry Bakart on the accounting firm's recent acquisition streak. The Raleigh-based company recently purchased Massachusetts outfit Treacy & Company, bringing its total headcount to 1,400. This is the type of market where well-prepared firms focused on the right areas are able to do well. And we have CEO Paula Brown Stafford on Novan, submitting a new drug application to the U.S. Food and Drug Administration, seeking approval of the company's lead product candidate. Today marks a significant milestone for Novan and the culmination of substantial efforts of the entire Novan team, the company's first NDA submission. And Eric Forshee, Executive Vice President of Life Sciences, JLL, Raleigh. As new therapeutics such as cell and gene therapy and mRNA begin getting approved by the FDA, there is significant demand for purpose-built cGMP facilities. North Carolina, and more specifically the Triangle, has positioned itself to take advantage of the ever-growing biomanufacturing space. As our time with the Triangle Business Journal winds down, we'll go ahead and turn to the Business Pulse. The question was, would you fly Southwest Airlines? The total number of responses, 308. 50% say yes. And, of course, that means 50% also say no. And we'll go ahead and stop for today as we've run out of time for today's episode. I hope you enjoyed it. I'm Derek Frost, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and impaired. The Triangle Business Journal is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. So long until next time, and thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.